Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Funny Stories with Ocean.
Yeah. Tom, you did that on a regular voice with the mask going on this time. I like that. I dig that. Was good. How are you?
I am not sober.
You're not sober?
So we'll see how this goes.
Absolutely. All right. So listen, you know, we usually do the podcast with Kristen, the newscaster, but she is not going to be with us any longer. She just had a couple of other things that she wanted to do, and this wasn't conducive to her. So I need another white girl. So if y'all can find me one out there, that would be great. Or Latin. Or black. Or just a hot girl that is willing to do the news. It doesn't have to be white.
How about just a girl?
Just a girl. But she got to be hot and fun to work with and cool.
Hot is subjective.
Yeah, it is very subjective. But
do you like big girls? Because I love me some big girls.
I love me some big girls. But
that's subjective.
That is subjective. But I didn't need you to put me on the spot like that. Because if I said I didn't like big girls, then I would get, you know, everybody would be like, oh my God, you don't like big girls. But I've liked big girls a lot in my life. Like the best sex I've ever had was with a big girl. As long as she's hot, I don't care. She's good. She comes on. She does the job, everything. But, you know, we're going to miss Kristen here. But, you know, she had other stuff that she wanted to do, and it's all good.
Tone's face was precious right there.
Precious, but y'all didn't see it. So we can get right into it. Since we don't have a newscaster this week, we're going to get right into it. And I'm excited about my guest. Man, I think we kind of started in this business together almost a little bit. But he has just lapsed a lot of people. he's done so many TV shows. He's been on MTV, Bad Judge, all kind of TV show. Whitney, he's been on everything. He's also a very, very talented comedian that tours the country, and he's also overly handsome. He's one of those overly handsome dudes that you really don't want to go to the club with.
But you're a handsome dude. You can't.
But I'm just saying.
You can't call me overly handsome. You're a handsome dude. You can't be calling me overly handsome.
No, it's okay. I get what you're saying, but I'm also understanding that when you go, there's just some dudes that you go to the club and you like, man, I know he get bitches. And that's you right there.
I've been to the club. I've been to the club a couple times.
Exactly.
A couple times. I do all right.
You do all right.
I do all right.
Yeah, so you got the.
I'm solo now, but you know, club's closed.
Exactly. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Thank you for doing the podcast. I appreciate you doing it, man. You don't know, it's a great thing for me. How was your week? How's quarantine been treating you?
It's good, man. It's good. Quarantine has been. Man, I'm gonna say what everybody else say probably, right. But it's been interesting. You know, right. What I mean, just been like it's been like one of them times of self discovery, and then weeding some people out your life. You know, reconnecting with some people, and then just like figuring out that new skill, that new pivot that you're gonna make. It's been productive though. Just move. That's where you picked me up from. My new crib. Yeah. I used to live on the backside of that.
Oh, okay.
So I just moved over there a couple weeks ago, and
how do you like it?
Man, I love it, man. I got a crazy deal. They renovated everything. Shit is sexy. Yeah. It's sexy. I'm like, man, it's sexy. And I'm just like, so the only thing now is because you know what it was? I was living in that spot, like you said, you know, touring, you know, we tour all the time.
Right.
Or we have been, you know, right. Prior to this, but like touring, like, you know, because I mean, you being on the road heavy too.
I'm heavy, but yeah.
I mean, you know, I do, even with TV or film or whatever, I'm still doing, man, 25, 30 weeks a year.
Right.
So it was like, oh, I'm finally like home. And then I realized where I was living wasn't a home. I just had shit in a place that I got mail at. Like, right. Most of my drawers is here. I got pots and pans here. But right. This shit is not, I'm going to use your word, conducive. It was not conducive to being like,
right.
I'm going to find me somebody living like this. Because right. it was. I'm just out here changing out bags and like getting dressed. I'm really only sleeping and eating it.
Right.
And then when I got this spot, I was like, man, you know what? Like, you know, for real, like, I want to have a home for the first time.
Right.
I want to put up pictures. I want to like, you know, have a, you know, be proud of where I live.
Right.
And then, like, if I'm going to be in the house as much, like that shit.
Right. Exactly.
So, that's what it's been. So, like, bro, I've been on, I don't want to give them no plugs, but I ain't going to lie. I've been on Facebook Marketplace.
Have you?
Like, because some furniture I like, got custom or whatever, mm-hmm. And then some furniture I was like, I'm going to get, you know, let me see if somebody got a mirror or or end table or a lamp or something I want. So be like, man, I've been looking at goddamn Facebook Marketplace like it's bad Instagram bitches. I've been looking at decor like, God damn, that credenza is a bad motherfucker. That bitch cold.
Right.
Like.
So Facebook Marketplace is.
It's like let go, like offer up, like all them. Like that's what I've been going on that shit. So like it's been. I didn't even know that shit existed. Somebody was like, yo, check Facebook Marketplace. So I'm looking at that and like, and you know, you can set the filter to be like, I want to be 10 miles from my house only. So I'm going to come grab this. I got this big ass mirror. I bought like a dope ass shoe cabinet, like for guests. You know, when they come in, take your shoes off. I got like the little booties to help me clean my floors when you come over to hang out.
Right, right. I got kind of like the booties on these microphones.
Yeah, right. The little mic condoms. I got foot condoms when you come over. But I got like a little. It was like a little cool little shelf. It's like closed up and it's cute and shit. And then I got a little art I put up over that. So I'm buying art and shit for real. Okay. And I'm framing photos. Yeah, so I feel like I kind of grew up during this period. To be honest with you,
that's what's up. See, I'm a dude that don't. Like people coming over. I don't like people knowing where I live, so I don't have none of that.
I think we talked about that a couple years ago.
Yeah, like, we did.
Until then, nobody knew where I live.
Right.
I remember us talking about that.
Right.
I don't like pop up guests.
Me neither.
No.
Girls have always been like, we can just go to your crib, and I'm like, no, we can't. We can go to yours and hang out yours, and I can leave yours.
When I want.
I don't have to feel awkward on kicking you out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I do want to kick girls out.
I got so good in the last, like, 16, 18 months. Bro, when I tell you, I'm straight up, like, and I can name some people that you know who just kind of hang out. Like, we just cool. We smoke a joint or whatever. Right. Like, we might have a glass of wine or whatever.
Right.
But, like, when I'm ready, it ain't Martin.
Right.
But they know I'm for real. I'll be like, hey. You got to go.
Right. So I have my boy, you know him, AD.
AD,
I go to his crib and I kind of can tell when he ready for me to go, which is cool. Like, because he'd be like, yeah, so what you about to do? I guess I'm about to leave.
I'll wait for that first real sigh. Right. I'd be like, man, where my keys at? Let me call this Uber. You got 11 minutes?
Exactly.
I'll go stand in your driveway. It is time for you to go to bed.
Absolutely.
I tell motherfuckers all day, hey, man, you can stay, but I'm going in the room.
Right.
I'm going to bed. So you can, hey, have the couch, but lock that shit behind you. If you're leaving, lock that shit. I know if I get a knock on the door randomly, that shit is a pizza or Amazon. I know exactly what it is.
See, I'm good when my boys coming over because your homies don't just show up at your house.
If he married, though.
Really?
If he married. And he ain't got a curfew, he's staying as long as he can.
Right.
Especially if you got extra room. Man, I just go in this room. Really? No, man, go to the room you pay for.
Yo, again, AD, my boy AD.
You married, I didn't marry.
Right, he has a two-bedroom, and in his second bedroom, he has no furniture. So it's like, he's like, nobody is staying.
He got padded walls in the second room. This motherfucker just got padded walls.
Exactly.
AD, what you doing? AD got padded walls.
I'm
actually very proud of this because I got like a real guest room. Like that's just always until I have a guest. Like, it's a guest room.
That's what's up.
Right. And then I got like my studio workspace, like my lounge where like I smoke. Basically, this is this room. It's this room. Like, so that's what I'm doing. I'm doing this studio in my third room.
That's what's up, man.
My bad. That was the growth, but good. Whatever.
As a matter of fact, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Bud. Budweiser Diesel or Heavy, depending on where you come from.
Okay, so every week we do like a new drink, and I'm doing Angry Orchard Hard Cider, my dude.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Now, Ryan, you know I used to work with Budweiser.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. What did you do before you got into entertainment?
I was in marketing for Anheuser-Busch. So I worked out of St. Louis, but I would say stationed. My apologies. I was... It wasn't an actual station, but you mean like that's what they sent me. They sent me to I was in Atlanta, then they sent me to Miami, New Orleans, and then I got like the my post.
For all you guys don't know, Tom is what part of the military you're in, Tom?
I'm stationed at Fort Couch Camp Living Room right now.
That's his new post.
I'm a PFC.
Okay.
Private fucking civilian.
Are you? But when you were in military.
I was in the Army.
He was in the Army.
Staff Sergeant, U.S.
Nice.
Army.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Were you ever in the military?
Nah. Pops was, not me.
Huh?
Were you?
No, I was. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. My mom was not having that, so I was never into any of that. And I never wanted to, not that I didn't want to fight for the country. I just felt I didn't want to die or lose limbs. So
I was not that. My dad did. I think my dad did his four and got out. My dad did like seventies. Did like he did his four and then my dad got in, got out. But no, that was not me. But I ended up coming from. I would say by way of New Orleans, but I went back to Atlanta for about a week and they offered me a promotion. And then fall 07, I got to Dallas. So I was doing a corporate gig.
And then how did you get into comedy? Did you start off in comedy or did you start doing acting? Or how did you
I did like theater off? In college. I hosted some shows, all that kind of stuff. And then around Atlanta, not as much as everybody else. I went to Atlanta long enough because it was like I was coming from Savannah where I went to school, got back to Atlanta for a little bit. And I was like trying to, you know, I was doing some live shows, doing some plays, doing some, I wouldn't say stand-up per se, but I was hosting stuff here and there. And then I got to Miami, lost sight of it, got to New Orleans, lost sight of it, 4 or 5 months.
Miami can make you lose sight of it. Like it.
Man, when you take a shower at midnight to go out.
right.
Like, but you don't get to the club before 1:30 a.m.
It can make you lose a lot of sight. Yeah, the girls was like, in there are just like amazing, yes.
Okay. Bro, I thought, and can I say something real?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought. And this is real because I work for a beverage company. Uh-huh. And so it was like, you know, everything is, you know, hey, man, get a couple shots, grab your beer, whatever. But like, you know, when your car can't be declined, and this is every day in a city like Miami or New Orleans.
Right.
Like, I thought alcoholism was bullshit. I thought, like, I'm an alcoholic. I thought that shit was.
Was bullshit.
I thought it was like it's a motherfucker who just wanted to drink too much.
Right.
Man, I left Miami, went back to Atlanta for a week, and I was like, oh, fuck, I finally stopped drinking. Man, day one, I try to go to bed. I tossed and turned all night. Couldn't go to sleep. Night two, I've been up for 48 hours at this point. Wow. And my girl was like, what happened? I was like, I think I need you to go get me a beer or something. Right. And she was like, what? I was like, I think I need it.
Right.
I think I need this beer.
Right.
And bro, I took like, it was a tall boy. And she was like, just get the, she was like, what size? I was like, get the big one.
Just get the big one, right.
Get the big boy. Get the tall boy. I knocked half this bitch out, went right to bed.
Wow.
And so I had to like wean my self off of booze or whatever, and then but by the time I got to Dallas, I was good because I was like but I started, you say how to get into stand-up, it was like I was one, I just loved it, but also I had to host some shows, and then I had a notebook, I was already kind of writing some stuff, and then I think that December is like stand-up month, and then I was just, you know, I was like, our shit slowed down for work. I'm watching 2-3 weeks straight Comedy Central, doing just everywhere, just comedy. And man, I was like, I'm gonna try to find a mic and just, I ain't got no hobbies around here. I just moved here. I don't really know anybody. I don't know if you ever moved to it. Like it's cause I used to go to the club.
Right.
And I do all right.
Yeah. You do.
I do all right.
I've been to the club with you. You do all right. You do all right.
I do all right. And it was just that, it was that kind of maturity moment where I was like, honestly, all I really know, I was playing ball a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I go to the gym, play ball a little bit, but it was really just, all I knew how to do was like go to the bar, to the club, and like meet a chick.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, in the like, two other guys that I had met, that like I live in a loft right downtown in Dallas. Uh-huh. The two other guys that kind of had jobs like me had just moved to Dallas as well. And we became like just like boys real quick, but that's all we did.
Right.
And after a couple months of that, I was like, yo, this ain't fulfilling.
Right.
So I got in a stand up, man. And like since then, so January 08 is when I started.
January 08. And then you won. If I'm correct, the NBC Diversity Showcase, right?
Yeah, in 11.
In 11. So you had only been doing stand-up for 2 years.
I would say I started doing, like, my research of, like, what scene I wanted to be in, who was in the scene, like, where do I think my voice is at the end of 07. So 08, yeah, it was like, but I was like, man, I had already known, bro. I had already known Lil Duval, Sean Larkin, Malik S., Zoo Man, Shawty.
A lot of these great comics.
A lot of comics we've seen on Def Jam, BET. Right. I mean, you know, a lot of the like more black urban circuit.
Right.
I had known them already because I was booking shows when I was in school. Because I had known them from high school, really.
Right.
And so after that, it was like I called a couple of them, like, yo, man, I think I might get into it, and they were like, yo, just Like, I don't know if I feel like a comedian. They're like, look, man, the moment you step on stage, you're a comedian.
You're a comedian, right.
It don't matter if it go well or not.
Right.
If you go well, you're a comedian. That was good. If it don't go well, you're a comedian that bombed.
Right.
So that's all it was. And I still talk to them now.
Nice.
Like, everybody. I keep in contact with just about everybody. And but yeah, it's one of them things, man. It was like, it was, you know the game. Like, you just fall in love with it.
You do. Immediately. Like, for me, I bombed.
Especially when you bomb quick.
Yeah.
Your first time go well, you bomb quick. The second time, you like, I got to conquer this shit.
Yeah, I got to conquer. I did well my first time, and then I bombed my second time.
Absolutely, same.
And then I quit for like 6 months. And then just like you said, I was like, man, fuck this. I need to conquer this.
Yeah.
And I went back and started getting on and on and on. But that's great that you, I was only saying it for the 2 years because a lot of people feel like you have to be doing it for a long time and or whatever. And I watch a lot of comedians and they talk about, oh, well, is you this and this amount of time? And I'm like, yo, it's okay. Like 2 years is you knew what you were doing and you won it.
I auditioned 08,
right?
9, 10, 11. 11 is the year that I guess I end up winning the whole thing. And then like, I guess the deal was for 12 with NBC.
Right.
But it was like, I was watching that shit. I was studying that shit. I was looking at who was winning, how they was winning, what sets they was doing, like what they was looking for. I broke that bitch down. And so I was like looking at like, okay, this is a good end. Everybody has like the accolade from it, but they ain't done nothing with NBC.
Right.
And I'm the first dude to do something with NBC, like from the program, you know, so it was like, for a while, you know, I was rolling with NBC for like 3 years, really. And so like, I love the opportunity, but the craziest part was, So 08, January 08 to 11. So that's about 4 years, 08, 09, 10, 11. I was already out here. I moved here 11. Summer, August of 11. I had quit my job in April of 11, moved out here August of 11. But I was still going back to Dallas once a month to do my own show.
You had an improv show.
I had an improv show. It was called What Women Want. Tony Bell presents What Women Want. So it was a bunch of comedians just talking about relationships and shit.
Right.
So I just had a showcase. And then, of course, I planned my show to be the same weekend as NBC shit.
Right, exactly.
And they're like, Tony, you need to take your show for this thing. I was like, do they? So I set all my own fans up to come to the showcase.
Right, exactly.
It was smart.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fucking perfect. I knew the formula at this point, what material I need to do, what y'all need to hear.
Right.
And I set that bitch up for me to win. Because I wasn't supposed to win. I actually didn't want to win. I was trying to be Clay Aiken, not Ruben.
Why? Why was that?
Because I ain't want the deal. I ain't want the deal. You watch, remember that Clay Aiken, Ruben stuttered year?
Yeah.
And Clay got all the shit.
He did.
That motherfucker was everywhere. Ruben had to lose weight before they gave him his deal.
Yeah, this is true.
But this shit kicked in.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how it was, but that's what I read.
Right. Right,
right, right, right. But it was like I didn't really want the deal, and I don't think I was set up. I don't think anybody thought I was going to win.
Right.
Like I was,
because you were 2 to 3 years in.
I mean, not even. I mean, just. I mean, it's some motherfuckers that's been in 6 months who get a shot.
Yeah.
That you like, and actually, I was very happy that I didn't get it that year. Like the 09, I'm murdered, bro.
You murdered 09.
10, crushed. Bro, I think that was San Antonio. I crushed in 10. Crushed. Crushed. Kevin Shea forgot my name. Introduced me, forgot my name. I was like, it's okay. I don't know yours either.
Right.
And I love Kevin Shea. I love Kevin Shea.
Right,
we laugh about it all the time.
Right.
I love Kevin Shea. But man, it was so funny. And I murdered that year, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, I did 2 stories in 8 minutes, callback, close. I had like 4 callbacks. I still got that tape. I murdered that bitch.
Right.
And then, but I was like, you know what? I wasn't ready. Had they come at me with I would not have known what the fuck I was going to do. I was not ready. By the time I started getting into the game, got my feet wet in LA, all this kind of stuff. And then I started seeing how people move and shake. By the time I got in 11, I was like, was I ready? Probably not. But I was ripe. I was more ripe.
Right.
A little more familiar with the game, and I met people around here already, in LA already, knew some folks in New York, so I felt like I was a part of like the stand-up community a little more versus like coming from Dallas and people like, who the fuck is that?
Right, right, right.
You know, so.
So it would you say it was all in a good experience and you were glad that you went through it and won it and did they were able to help you with it?
Yeah, man. It was like, it was one of the things where I got the call and didn't think it was real because I had gotten fucked up the night before. And I think it was, man, it might have been the night of the showcase, but I got fucked up. Like, me and my roommate, we was living 4-5 to an apartment in a 2-bedroom. I get that call, someone on the air mattress. I get the call, like, hey, Tone, you won. This is NBC. And I was like, yeah, yeah, man, let me call y'all back.
I swear to God. Because you thought it was bullshit.
I was like, man, I'm too hammered for this phone call. All right, man, I'll call y'all back. I wake up, I'm like, man, what's the number for NBC?
And so what happened
after? I call back NBC, like, hey, this is Tone. Somebody called me from here earlier. They're like, where do we need? Who are you trying to talk to? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I won some program. Can you? They know what the fuck to say. And they was like, I mean, even when I said I called it back, they were like, okay. Right. All
right. Right.
And I was like, I promise, I'll call you in like 30 minutes. I need you to get my shit together. Then I called them back. And then I got like maybe a week too late, I go to the meeting. Like, they invite us in and or invite me in. And it's all the, you know, it's a round table. And, you know, shit you see on TV. It's all the executives. And, hey, Tone, we glad you won the program. And this is so-and-so, yada, yada, yada. And then I had my managers with me. Because I just signed with managers. And they like, Tone, we don't normally have managers in these meetings. And I was like, well, I don't normally have these meetings.
Right, right. So you're like, I don't know how it goes.
So I might say something stupid that might mess this whole thing up. Right, so I have somebody else who can control my career till I get used to this.
Right.
And then that's what happened.
And it was a wrap then. And from there, they put you on a certain TV show.
Man, I work my ass off of Whitney. I mean, I was on the road. Man, I probably auditioned for Whitney.
So though you won it, you still had to audition for Whitney.
They didn't know if I could act. They thought I could. They were like, should he write? Should he act? You know, they were trying to figure out where to, you know, at least what position I should go after.
Right.
And then, man, I'm telling you, like, I went in and I auditioned, man, no less than six times, which I didn't really realize, like, after the third time, they got to start paying you.
Really?
That's what I've heard. They got to pay you for your time because, like, at this point, you should be testing.
Right.
But I think that was wrapped into the deal of, like, they don't pay for the test, the quotes and all, because your quote is predetermined, all this kind of shit. And, right. Then, let me say this, and I don't say this often, but I'll say this with you, but I almost gave that bitch back.
Really? Why? Why is that?
Because even though it's the most money I've ever made in my life, like, you know, week to week of, like, all right, I got the show, now here's the contract. The contract was predetermined by the deal. That's what I'm saying. That's why I wanted to be Clay,
you want to be second.
Ruby.
Yeah, right, right.
And then so I get this, and like, I mean, you see it, but you know, like, you knew. So you're like, man, okay, I get to be on TV, and I'm a fan of the people that's on the show.
Right.
I grew up to NBC. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, this sounds like great money to me. And my lawyer's like, that's trash. He was like, we cannot let you do this. And then, crazy enough, this is like, I don't know if I ever said this out loud, but BET offered me a better deal. BET offered me more money than NBC.
And I heard that BET is notorious for not giving people money.
Have no idea. I've only worked with BET like sparingly. Never been a regular on the show, right. So I have no idea how to. And like, I tell people all the time, even if they want to tell me, do not tell me how much you make.
Right.
Because either I'm gonna be mad or mad because you make too much or too little.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know. So I never ask. I'm like, your quote is your quote. So I take it home. Like, I've had comics be like, well, Tony, how much you making? What should I do? I go, first of all, nigga, never say that again.
Right.
Tell me, I'm taking it to the grave. Don't ever tell nobody else what you make. But, yeah, man, BET
can
came
you
in.
Imagine
BET
you
came in higher than NBC.
The BET deal, and people were like, yo, he was going to be on NBC, but BET offered him more money, and he took that.
Bro, because, I mean, I had a pretty decent savings. I almost gave the money back to NBC and went to BET. It was like, yo, I'm cool. I take this show instead. Right. And they're like, hold on.
So did NBC give you more money based off of that?
They met the deal that I was getting over there. Yeah, it still was very and like being in the game now and knowing how that shit works, severely underpaid.
Right.
Severely. I mean, I know children on their first show, guest stars or recurs that made double what I was making.
And you were the star of the show. Wow.
But then if you remember a couple of years after me with NBC, the whole thing changed. The whole deal changed. Everything changed. Because it was like, I booked like 50-something colleges from the college joint, and I was doing a college tour, and then I ended up booking Whitney after the 6 auditions or whatever. So they were like, I was actually on tour, and they're like, you come back for another audition for Whitney? And I was like, I don't know if I'm getting that money. This money, I'm in the airport. This money already here.
Right.
And they're like, you should come back. And I was like, you should fly me back.
Right.
I got to pay for myself to come back for some money that I might not get. I'm going to get that.
Right.
And then, that part I can't talk about. After that part, I can't talk about it because we got into some wild shit.
Wow.
With the network. And it was great, though. I mean, because, like, the...
No.
Thank you. I was kidding.
Start with, we got into some wild shit. Because now in my head, it's Brad Williams in a diaper.
Let me. No.
Thank you, Tom. I was just going to let it roll.
All right, let me say this. I will say this. Being on a talent side, dealing with a corporation, and I'm coming from a corporation, they weren't used to, or at least who I was dealing with, not everybody, I'm sure it's like a small group,
right?
Weren't used to dealing with someone that actually reads contracts, that can speak their language, and the product is different now. So, like, I was working for Budweiser, Bud Light, but now I'm just Budweiser, Bud Light. I'm the brand now.
You the brand.
So now I can talk to you different than most people who, like, I ain't never made this kind of money, who just excited and go sign whatever.
Right.
Where I was like, this deal don't seem right.
Right.
And I got a chance to, like, they're like, oh, shit, this motherfucker's talented and can read.
He was a total package.
So it was like, it was very different, man. It was very different. They weren't used to somebody like me. Because even still now, bro, I'll get, I'm so cool with studio heads and like heads of production companies and shit that we're like, I might be talking about a movie 2 weeks from my manager or agent find out about it, or like pilots and shit. I'll have executive producer or studio head call me directly and be like, yo, we got something for you. And which is, it's not something I plan. It's something like I just happen to have that vernacular. And that's why a lot of times, even dealing with comics, like I'm better with studio people sometimes than I am with like talent. There's like us, just because I speak that language sometimes better. Language.
But you was in the corporate world for so long.
Yeah, I was corporate world for 7-8 years, yeah.
I'll never forget the story, and then we're going to get into your story.
Okay.
But I'll never forget the story of we were on a show together. This is the greatest thing. We was on the show together. I think we was at the Ice House. And I was hosting the show, and Tone was going up. So I go over to Tone and I go, I ask him, I'm like, so, you know, I think you were in between gigs, or you just hadn't been on Whitney, or was something, you was on something. And then I was like, you had did an MTV show or something you was doing, but you wasn't on TV at that particular second. And then I was like, so, you know, you want me to say this? Basically, I was saying, you're not on TV right now. Do you want me to say this? And he looked at me so cold and so regular. It was like, well, actually, I'm on MTV right now. You can say blah, blah, blah. And my whole face just dropped. I was like, this dude stay working. I can't. It was just so, it was so cold. He wasn't even trying to shit on me. He was just being real, like, well, actually, I'm actually, you know, at MTV right now, you can say this. And I was like, touche, my nigga, touche.
Hilarious.
Touche, my nigga. I'm gonna bring you up on, what would you like for me to say from here on out?
I've had one weird ass dry period I've had one weird ass dry period with no show that I was like, okay, cool, I'm a tour and get this hour ready.
Right.
And actually I turned down the show because I was like, I didn't like where it was going. I was like, I think it's too much in the pilot. And I was like, this whole pilot could be 8 episodes. Like it's a lot happening.
Right.
And I talked to some big names and some producers and stuff, and they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, we agree. And it's a show that did air, didn't last long or whatever, but I pulled out of that.
Which show?
No. That one I will not say. Because the cast and the producers and everybody I really liked.
Are they friends of ours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Don't bring it up.
But it would have been my first, I'll say this, it would have been my first non-network or cable. It would have been premium cable. It would have been, you know, a pay joint. And
So you're like an HBO.
For example.
For example. Okay. All right.
For example, HBO, Showtime, Stars, you know, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Because Tom can find out that if I try to limit the stuff that
I'm
saying.
And that's why
I
can't give you what show I picked up instead, because if you know, you will know that timeline. That's why I'm not giving you the show. But it was cool because I ended up going to a different platform too. So like it was great. But it was weird because it was like that kind of, you know, after doing it, missed a champagne problem, and it's like people are like, come on, man, like I've never done one thing. You've done right. four or five at this right. point. It's like I don't look at it like that. I look right. at it like this hasn't. It's only been one season. I haven't conquered this yet. So like everybody goes, oh man, you got. And I know it's a big feat. I know it's right. a big thing. But to me, it's like I got to get to season two now. I can get to season one. I can get this bitch picked up. I need to get to season two. And we love what we do.
Exactly.
So it's like, it was like that. I needed that. And but it was the first year. Like I didn't have anything in the spring or whatever. And then I was like, fuck, man, I'm just going on the road. I got to write something. I got to sell something. You know, whatever. So like it pushed me in a different direction, and gave me a lot of momentum. And then a show came up in the summer, which I didn't expect. And it was dope. And let me tell you something. This one I felt terrible about. Love the show, but I ended up walking out the room. And I mean, it's a bunch of our boys here. I mean, like, it's people we respect, people right. we fuck with. You know, you get in the room.
Like who? If I say the name, will you wink at me?
Yes. I will wink at you. But
Brad, Whitney, Chris.
No. Non-white.
Non-white.
All right. Angela, Tiffany. No. All right.
So I'm going to, you know, we're just auditioning against each other. Like everybody's like, yo, man, if it's like 12 dudes in the room, it's a bunch of women there too, going for different roles and stuff. It's probably 30 people in this waiting room. At least 8 people that we know. Stand-ups. And I get there probably, man, and my appointment is like an hour after they start. And I swear to God, bro, it was so awkward. Cause like it was, man. Like I know it seemed like bullshit if you've seen it. I'm not bullshitting, but it was very awkward because I get in there and it's I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes, man, maybe like 7 minutes, bro. And one of the assistants or, you know, PAs, whatever, walks in, goes, hey, Tone, thank you for coming. You got like 10, we'll get you in like 10 minutes. But everybody else been waiting for I don't know how long. And I'm like, don't single me out. Like,
we hate motherfuckers like you.
I hate them. Hate them.
But I drove all the way to Santa Monica to sit there for 45 minutes. Hey, Tone. Thanks for just walking in.
Bro, I was like, and I literally said, I mean, just to be, I was like, hey, man, I was like, no, I'll wait. I was like, there's other people here. They're like, no, they wanted to see you. And I was like, well, how would you say that? And I'm just trying to, you know me, man. I'm a very, like, chill, humble dude. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm just bullshit. And so, like, they're like, oh. So now, of course, when she leave, everybody like, oh, this nigga.
Right. That happened to me. Dion had already got me the commercial for the commercial I did with him for the Old Spice. He had already got it for me.
Yep.
So what they wanted me to do was just come in and just, you know, pair up with people who they was going to put in the commercial.
Okay.
So it was already, so I walked, but they didn't tell me that. They just had said, come in for the audition.
Okay.
But I already knew I had it. So I go in and it's just like you said, it's packed with comics, actors, all of that. And as soon as I walked in, the director and like the casting was like, come on in, Ocean. And people were just looking. It wasn't on the level of yours, but it was like people were looking like, this motherfucker just walked in. And I was like, I felt good though. I was like, yeah, see you bitches in this. I'm going in here. You stay on this hot ass.
Let me tell
room.
You why I feel bad. It's because I went to the audition.
Right.
I went to the audition. I watched stuff from the creator and the producer. I always do my research on like, what else have they done? Watch what character I'm probably playing in this right. in this moment. Like everybody writes the same shit all the time.
Right.
The scenes are different. The setting is different. Whatever. I was like, oh, I'm him in this. Okay.
Right.
I know who this is gonna be. Bro, I walked in. Did well. And I left my sunglasses, my keys, and I think I had a backpack with me because I left my script. I was off book, whatever. I left my script, keys, all this kind of shit. And I went back into the room, and I grabbed it. And somebody was like, I was like, hey man, good luck, fellas. And they're like, all right, cool, they cool. I was like, yeah, I was like, but don't worry about it, everybody. You can go home because I definitely just booked that bitch. But good luck. And I was being sarcastic as fuck.
Right.
And then I booked that bitch. And I was like, God damn it. Now I'm an asshole.
Now you're an asshole.
Now I'm an asshole. Because I was trying
to remember that story. They're gonna go. I remember when Tone came into the audition.
I was trying to be silly.
Right, exactly. But here's the funny thing is everybody's story is different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll get into an argument and somebody will say the argument or whatever, but it's always two sides to that story. Yep. So you ever like somebody, I remember we was on the road with Dion, me and Dion was on the road, and this girl, we were eating, and this girl came up to us and was like, we already had our food, and we was like, crab legs all into it, and the girl was like, can I get an autograph? She was talking to Dion, and Dion was like, well, I'm eating, so I don't really want to stop eating to sign your autograph, but I appreciate you, whatever. She's like, well, I'm gonna just stand here and wait. And so she stands on top of him, and he's like, listen, no disrespect, but I don't want you to stand over me. And she was like, well, why don't you just get up and give me an autograph? And he's like, well, you're not going to gangster me into giving you an autograph. Like, you know what I'm saying? But her story, when she tells that story, it's going to be totally different.
Completely different. I mean, that's the one thing I respected about Ricky Smiley. Budweiser used to sponsor the Tom Joyner Cruise. And so even before I was, I'm probably a year and a half, open mic still, like the small shows and stuff. And I'm on the time joining the cruise. Of course, they sent the 9 black people that work for the company at the time. So we all go on the cruise. And then Ricky Smiley's walking around. And people are like, yo, can I get a picture? He's like, I ain't really doing pictures today. Same thing. He was at dinner. Somebody's like, can I get a picture? He's like, man, I'm doing pictures all day tomorrow. If you see me tomorrow, I will take 1,000 pictures with
right.
you. But today, I'm here with my people. I'm here with my family. I'm here with my people. Like, and can I just enjoy today? And like, I know some people were turned off by that, but I was like, I think that's so respectful. I think it's so. He's like, "Hey, dude, from when I wake up to I go to bed, I will take as many pictures as you
right,
want.
Exactly.
But right now, can I eat this steak while it's hot? Can I eat this while it's hot? Because if I take a picture with you, I'm gonna take a picture with everybody. And I'm just can I?
That's what happened to me and Tone. I used to be on the road with Tony Rock before I was on with Dion. And Tony, we went to IHOP. This is true shit. Tony was like. He was like, man, this girl came up to him and was like, can I get an autograph? And he was like, I looked at him. He looked at me. He was like, sure. Take the autograph. For 30 minutes straight, people were just coming. He couldn't eat. And
it's probably some people that don't even know who the fuck he is. They're like, I just need his autograph. It's probably half the people knew exactly who he was. Other people were like, I should just get this now while he's doing it.
Exactly.
I'll look him up later.
It's like, I was sitting there eating, just laughing. And he was like, this is why I don't do autographs and pictures. Because I can't eat. He's like, you think it's funny, but you got to eat your food. He was like, fuck it, let's just go. And I was like, yeah, my pancakes was great,
delicious.
you know what I do when people ask me for autographs?
What is that?
Nothing, because nobody ever asked me for autographs. Not once, not ever.
But you know what? It's like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
One time somebody thought I was Jimmy O Yang, and I was like,
what?
Dad, that's fucked up.
Sign the autograph.
Sign the autograph.
Sign that autograph.
All right, so this is how we do it. It's called Funny Stories with Ocean. Damn, that was like, that went for a while, Tom, man. Thanks for talking, man. We can talk forever, though.
Hey, man.
All right, so listen.
This is what they pay us for?
This is what they pay us for. All right, so everybody knows how it is Funny Stories with Ocean. So we have a guest come in. Our guest is Tone, and you tell a funny story, man, that you have. That's happened to you in your life or whatever funny story you want to tell.
Dirty, clean.
You could do, I mean, dirty get the click, so go ahead with the dirty. If you, whatever you like to do.
Let's see.
Anything that's happened to you on set, any situation with like a girl, anything that you want to tell a funny story on.
So this one don't start out funny, but if I close it right, then it
okay.
should. So
all
so
right.
This is like I'm dating this chick. I'm dating this chick. And I tell the story often just like to people. I don't think I tell it on podcasts a lot.
Right.
But like, this is before comedy, before acting, before any of that shit. I'm still in Atlanta. This is actually before I started off like a promotions job before I got the actual Budweiser job, right? So I'm doing that a little bit. I'm doing this industry night this music industry night at this little spot called the Royale in Atlanta.
Okay.
And so this is where like I through the job had made a bunch of industry connects, just like music wise. And so I was having like new artists, new music being like you submit your, this is MySpace days. Okay. This is MySpace day. This is like 05.
On the real, I'm gonna keep it real. MySpace was the best one out of all these apps. If we could have kept MySpace.
It took us 15 years to realize MySpace was better.
Exactly. Go ahead. But MySpace is better. Go ahead.
You learn some shit. You know how to code now.
You do.
So
you can play the music you wanted on your page. Yo, you had your top five. Remember when you was like top? Oh, I'm going to let you tell the story. But yeah, I'm ripping this up on MySpace. I love MySpace.
But me and this chick started dating. We had kind of met. She had knew one of my frat brothers had like went to high school with her. So like we kind of had a few mutual friends. And dude, like she was like, at the time, 2005, I'm probably 22 years old. I'm like, that's my Jada.
Right, right.
I'm take this is me right. here. And like, oh man, I just want to be a power couple with this chick, and I'm doing a play, and I'm working this like little side hustle job, and I'm writing copy for this real estate agent, and I started doing this play from my. One of my professors had written this play, who's also a frat brother of mine, written this play. It was a musical, but I'm like, dude, I don't really sing, man. I don't really sing or whatever. And so I stepped back to be a smaller character in this play, but also help out on the production crew, on the stage crew. And but I'm like, I'm writing comedy, but I'm not doing it. Right. I'm hosting some stuff. Like maybe I'll throw this joke in if I host this thing or whatever. And we're sitting at the bar, we're sitting at Sabone. On at the corner of Panola Road and I-20. It's sitting right, if you know what I'm talking about, it's sitting right there, like off the Sabone, okay? Like New Orleans style. And we sitting there, she on my left, talking to my boy who's like the head of the stage crew he's a stage manager. Me and him talking, and some old niggas hitting on her. On the other side of her, she right here. I'm right here. Me, him talking. You know, you're like, I trust my girl. Like, whatever. Right. Some old nigga with a fedora and shit on. Some old nigga hitting on her. Like, oh. So, who you with, sweetheart? You know, he doing that whole thing.
Right.
Well, who you with, sweetheart? And she's like, oh, this my, you know, it's my dude right here. And he's like, okay, you know, he ain't paying attention to you. She's like, he's talking to his friend or whatever. He's like,
throw that old man game.
That old man game. I'd never not look at you if you was with me. I'd never not look at you.
Right, right.
You think I'm going to look at him while I could be looking at you? I'm like, God. And I hear him. I turn around and go, what's up?
Right.
What's up, good, Pops? You good?
Right.
So we talk for a second, and then I turn back around, whatever. And then I just hear out of earshot, and this shit fucking broke my heart that night. This shit fucking broke my heart. Like, I'm talking to dude I was talking to was named Mark. I'm talking to Mark, and he goes, well, all right, well, what does he do? You know, what does he do? What does he do? And she's like, oh, you know, he's trying to act to do comedy or something. I don't really know what he's doing.
She said this to the dude. And you can hear it.
We damn near shoulder to shoulder. And that shit blew my mind. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, bitch, you crushed my dreams before they ever started? I got a degree. My credit good. You're not paying for this meal. We 22.
He tried to do this little acting thing.
Bro, that night I broke up with her.
Did you?
Yeah. Broke up with her. We got back to her crib. I had a pickup truck. My truck was parked at her crib. We had took her car to she had a Jeep. Took her shit to the play and then to the restaurant, got back. And we got to the driveway and she was like, you coming in? I was like, nah, man. I ain't staying here no more. And she's like, what are you talking about? I heard what you said to that old nigga. I heard what you said. You don't believe in me. And she was like, Tone, I was just bullshit. And I was like, no, you wasn't.
No,
you wouldn't have said it to a stranger.
No, exactly. No, you wasn't.
You said that shit to a stranger. That shit fucking broke me.
Right.
Broke me. Most of my career is pettiness to make this bitch feel bad. You should have stuck with me. You should have stuck with me.
Most of your career is payback.
Funny story. I was wearing a fedora one night. I was talking to this girl. I was like, what's old boy do?
Really,
she was like,
he
could have
been Asian. He could have been Asian.
Trying to act or be a comic or something. And I was like, all right, girl.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So the next day, so she's like, now she's trying to be, you know, well, fine. If this is what you want to do. And she's like, I want my stuff back. I'm like, bring my stuff back.
Right.
So we met at the Varsity. Like, it was in between both of us, downtown Atlanta. We met at the Varsity up 75, 85. She pulled up her Jeep. I pulled up in my truck. And then I had a trash bag full of her shit. She had a trash bag full of my shit. We gave it. And I was like, bruh. I look in the bag and I was like, where my pizza pan?
What?
My pizza pan. I'd have had it since this college. This shit make perfect pizzas. Where my pizza pan? She's like, you want the pizza pan back? I was like, you know I make perfect pizzas. You know I make, where's my pizza pan? Where's my pizza pan? Right, right. And she was like, oh, it's just a pizza pan. I was like, well, go buy your own goddamn pizza pan. Right, right. And that bitch stomped back to the car. And she had it with her. I swear to God, she had it. She would walk back to her car, grab it. Here's your little pizza pan. Right. That's why you're trying to keep it, because you know this pizza pan is dope. And we actually tried again like a year later, and then she didn't like the comedy thing. She didn't like it. But like,
it's so funny when you're in a relationship and you break up. This should be the most pettiest shit that you be going after. You're like, oh, where's my pizza plan?
Where is my pizza?
It's so funny that you opened up the bag and that was the first thing you were looking for.
The only thing I was looking for. The only thing. The circumference of the bag wasn't even right. I was like, oh, this shit drooping too much. That should have a nice round, right, nice round circumference of this bag. That pizza pan should fit. That bitch made perfect pizza.
Do you still have the pizza pan?
No, I lost it in the move. But it was like a tray with a lip, you know what I mean? Then it had like a little raise up, so the crust got real nice and crisp. It was a good piece. I got it from Big Lots. That shit was like $7, but the shit was amazing.
Did you just say Big Lots?
Right, Big Lots.
I fuck with Big Lots.
Sometimes Big Lots is the come up sometimes.
Oh, no, Big Lots is the come up. I swear I had a Big Lots near my house. I would go to Big Lots all the time, and all of my stuff for my beds, everything was from Big Lots.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's the only place you're going to buy rice, batteries, and a PlayStation controller in the same aisle.
This is true. This is true.
I used to do a crazy joke about Big Lots, but yeah, that's my, and since then, I ain't gonna lie, like, I it's one of them where I still care about it. I think about it all the time.
Right.
I think about it all the time. Like, me and her, some of her friends are still cool, and I check in. I'm like, hey man, tell her, I said what's up if you talk to her. And we haven't talked in over a decade, but I still, like, I wish her the best, because I mean, at that moment, I wish I'd have been more mature. But I do think the story is funny as fuck.
It is funny. And the great thing about it is you become a success based off of
it. Yeah, I mean, she ended up moving to New York, and I'm like, I hope this bitch see me in Times Square. I hope this bitch see me in Times Square. I hope this motherfucker. I've had three billboards. I'm like, this bitch better have seen me. And if nothing else, a friend had been like, you know, girl, you know he on another show?
Could you imagine her seeing you walking with that old ass
I wonder
man?
What her mama said. Because I know mama's talking shit. I know. And she's been married and divorced since. But like.
Tom knows her whole story. He's been waiting. She married.
I told you. I check on her. Probably once. Three times a year. I don't call her, but I hit on, you know, I look at her Facebook and see how she doing. And just, but I do wonder what her mama think. I do if her mama's like, you should have stayed with that fucking comedian. I should have told you. You should just support it. Even if it was fake, just support him up front.
That's funny. And on that note, that is going to end this episode of Funny Stories with Ocean. Tone, yo, thank you so much for being on here, man. Bro. This has been great. Tell them where they can find you. What you doing next? What's going on?
I'm just at Tone Bell, just TONEBELL on all platforms. Actually, as of September 15th, I just did this really dope Callaway golf ad for ATC All Things Comedy, and it's with Kevin Nealon and Nick Turner and. Jay Larson directed it. Comedian Jay Larson directed it. And it's funny. So it's on the Callaway, I'm sure, YouTube and Instagram. It's the only thing I've shot the last few months, but I'm working on my next special. Got two movies coming out, Sylvie's Love and the USA versus Billie Holiday, the Billie Holiday biopic.
Isn't that the one where you had to slip your head down?
Both of those I had to shave for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which, in the same, I play Richard Pryor on American Soul.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So that came out about 2-3 months ago. So I shaved for that, everything
that's
too.
What's up?
Man, look out for my new special, man. And check out anything on InCrowd.studio. InCrowd Comedy. I'm working on some shows over there. So, yeah, man.
This was so the moral of this podcast is you become so successful because you wanted to. And as always, we thank you guys for tuning in. Yo, check us out on anything, anywhere podcasts are available. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. And we're also on YouTube, Ocean Live TV. Please subscribe. Please tell all your friends. We're going to keep continuing to bring you great people like Tone Bell here with great funny stories. We appreciate you guys. Peace out till next week. See y'all.